Well, hello there, you good and wonderful folk of Audio Boo, Facebook and Twitter. Welcome again to another Audio Boo with yours truly. And this is actually part two of Entry to Radio. Well, I'm just sort of recalling how I got into radio. I do a lot of volunteering in the sector, predominantly now on community radio and hospital radio, but back in the 1990s, certainly the mid-1990s, that's really where I got the bug. While I studied for a media degree, BA Honours, Combined Studies Media Pathway, to give it its full title, at the in Barnsley College, although it's validated by the University of Leeds, and that's where the graduation certainly was, in Leeds rather than Barnsley, but anyway, I got involved, I'd say, with YMC, what was then called YMC Radio, but it's still called YMC, but I don't think they're doing pretty well. I don't know if they've got a full-time FM licence, or whether they're an internet station or what, but I do know they've got a website, I think, if you Google YMC Radio, but honestly, sorry, I should say the search engine of your choice. I'm slipping sabbats, much as I'm not on air. So I can get away with that. But anyway, no, if you do the search and type in YMC Radio Barnsley, I'm pretty sure they've got a website. That last time I looked, I think it was a while back, a few years ago, but anyway, I digress. I suppose really my radio career started with doing work experience in 1990, and in both BBC local radio and independent local radio. And 2 days at the Beeb, I just got to sort of watch and listen, and then taking phone calls from the listeners, which is great fun, because my musical knowledge was non-existent. Having been raised on Radio 4, and therefore very much speech radio, in case you got the occasional sort of, when Classic FM started in 1990, I think it was sort of, was that going on, or we get Radio 3, but that was the only sort of music I knew. Apart from that, it'd be Desert Island Disc on a Sunday morning on Radio 4, and that was the sum total of my sort of radio music listening as a youngster growing, teenager growing up in, you know, at that time. Anyway, I digress. As regulars to these audios will know that we tend to digress from time to time, and this is one such example. But anyway, no, so I got to do 2 days work space at the BBC Radio Bristol. And first day, you just sort of sat there watching, you know, and then they sort of said, could you answer the phone? Obviously, the mid-morning show, the phones would start ringing, and you get people saying, could you play so-and-so? And, you know, it's the answer to the quiz, X, Y, and Z, and the rest of it, you know, and it would be like they'd be sort of saying, can you vote? And I'm thinking, who that? Thinking, I absolutely having no idea whatsoever. I'm thinking, hopefully I was lucky, one of the callers was kind enough to sort of spell it out to me. Yeah, and he said, yes, that's how you spell it. Yeah, and that's when it came out, bloody, bloody, blah. Yep, production team. Thank you very much. Great. When I went to Orchard FM, that was slightly different because Family Friends was the receptionist at the time. And I used to go down with her on a Sunday afternoon occasionally. Not every Sunday, but I'd pop down, just help out, muck out basically. It'd be sort of like making the tea basically, being shown how the desk works, showing how to sort of, you know, in those days, you still had the old cart players. So you'd have reel-to-reel tape recorders, which you'd go off, particularly record news items. So I later learned when I was doing the work experience in the newsroom. You'd go off with your UHA tape recorder. Professionals are probably thinking, my God, yeah, I think you can still pick one of those up in the special cell. And some people still swear by them. But they're reel-to-reel tapes, and yeah, you then had to obviously edit the frame manually by physically cutting out the tape and slicing, putting it back together again, and then you transferred it onto this sort of cartridge type thing, which would then be played on studio, and of course all the jingles and adverts were all played out on these cards as well. And so I learned how to do that and how to sort of, you know, transfer stuff across. So in those days, before doing the workspace, it was just showing bits of the studio. Yeah, okay, this is what happens. Yeah, la di da da. And then when I was doing the workspace, I was sort of able to go and sort of sit in the news booth with the then news editor. Once he greened out the, I think it was either lunchtime or early evening sort of news program, and to go out with the reporters and stuff like that, and sort of do all that. So that was, I suppose, really was how I got into radio. And but I say, I think Radio Barnsley, well, I want to say Radio Barnsley, certainly in 1996 was when I really, really did it, because I said I'd been made a producer of the Afternoon Zone in a previous restricted service license, which is where you get 28 days FM allocation, and yeah, the Radio Authority would give you basically a frequency on the FM dial, obviously. Usually at either end of the scale, so you're either the far right of the dial or the far left of the dial. And I think we were 106.2 or something, I think, with one of our frequencies. And so, in the second time, it was decided, right, if you want to get involved with the station, you've got to learn how to drive. Even if you're not going to present, you need to know how to use all the kit in the studio. So if you've got a presenter that can't come in, you can at least take over, or what would be called driving the desk for another presenter. Because there are a few people that wanted to present in progress, but they didn't really want to get into the nitty-gritty of the technical side of the faders and queuing up the tape, yeah, not tape, sorry, the CD players, queuing up the turntables and stuff like that, because we still played in those days. That's only what, 18, 19 years ago. We still played stuff on vinyl, LPs and singles. I remember learning how to sort of, you know, you got an LP and you'd have, I don't know, four or five tracks and everything, but you thought, okay, well, I want track four. Okay, where the hell do I find that? And I was sort of learning how to find and queue up track four and look at the thing. The other thing, one of the things I used at the BBC, was you would, one of your tasks as a work experience trainee would be to do what they call needle time, which is where you basically timed from the start of the track to where the vocals kicked in, and you would put a little sticker on the front cover of the LP or the CD or whatever, and say, right, okay, so for LPs and vinyl, so right, okay, you know, you've got, I don't know, vocals come in at 30 seconds or something off the start of the thing. And it just would mean that the presenter would be able, sorry, I'm going to make technical answer here, and basically the presenter would know that he could sort of talk over the intro to the piece without sort of talking over the vocals. So if it's, well, I don't know, Bananarama, for example, you know, or Blondie, or whoever it may be, you need to shut up when the vocals kicked in, basically, you know. So that's one of the jobs I first had to do. And then, I'd say, back in Barnsley in 96, we were all taught the how to do everything, so I used to go buy all the CDs and bring them in and all those bits. And then it was sort of, okay, right, well, what happens to the CD player? It doesn't work. And all your music is on CD, and you've got an hour's program to fill. What are you going to do? Okay, right. And actually, I remember on the second RSL update that happened in Yorkshire, I moved from the Afternoon Zone, which was the title of the program, which I was producer, ironic, because I was only in the studio one day a week. And there was a, you know, weekday afternoon show, obviously, by the nature of the title, kind of, yes, does what it said on the tin, you know. And so I'd meet to breakfast And my role was I had 3 slots on the weekday breakfast show, okay, where I would select and read out sort of offbeat humorous stories from the tabloids, the Sun, the Star, the Mirror. And what I would have to do is, in order to sort of not get the likes of Murdoch or whoever was running the Mirror at the time and the others sort of on my, our backs, I would actually rewrite the story. So I'd just think, okay, right, that's a funny one. So I'd rewrite in the style that I might be used to sort of speaking it. And then go and read that. I remember on the 3rd RSL we did, I obviously got the timings wrong. And I was half literally in the studio on air, reading something I'd already written, but I was rewriting something else till next week. And I could see myself running out of time because I'd finished the stuff I'd already written, and I was far superior to the stuff that I was still writing while I was going out on air, trying to make it sound absolutely to the listeners out there, thinking, yeah, then there's going to be another rise. I remember the then presenter, Jason, said, "Oh, just read it out of the paper, you know." He said, this is multitasking, you know. So that's what became multitasking. You know, I was reading some pre-written stuff and obviously writing at the same time, live, on air. I may have tried to repeat that experiment, I hasten to add, but that was one of the things. So my job in the 2nd RSL, which would be, what, June 96, would be to, like, go on to the breakfast show, take this, and I had 3 slots that day. And I think the even presenter, who was, funny enough, the presenter of the afternoon zone the previous November, in November 95, had even made up, you know, a jingle for me. You know, my own little jingle. I thought, bloody hell, you know. I was really making it. And somebody remembered somebody who saw me and said, "Oh, it's Mr. Radio Barnes." And I thought, God, I wanted to run a mile. I thought, no, I didn't do this for the celebrity. I want to do it because I enjoy doing it. And it's great fun. And in actual fact, I put, you know, we did that again for 28 days, and it's quite fun. And we do the OBs for McDonald's at the weekends, Saturday and Sunday afternoons. So I got quite involved, and I think there was a few, I didn't go, there was a, I think they did some quiz nights or something in the club, obviously not knowing the area, not being able to drive. I kind of sort of, bear in mind, it was sort of in the evenings and the rest of it, and I'm thinking, well, I've got to be college, bloody, 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 to do the degree course at the same time. Fit everything in, basically. So I didn't always get involved with those so much, but certainly, yeah, it was kind of a quick fun. And I say the buzz I really got was that off-air buzz. You know, you've just introduced a track, and then you're chatting to your fellow presenters, fellow volunteers. You know, saying, yeah, oh yeah, I'll have a tea, please, thank you very much, kind of thing. So that's really how I really got in. And then, of course, obviously, I decided to, after the 3rd RSL, which would have been November 96, I thought, well, I was approaching my final year at uni, I thought, better, yeah, the degree course, that's what, better really sort of focus all my attention on that. And so I sort of temporarily hung up the headphones until about, ooh, I don't know, 3.5, 4 years ago now, when another family friend cajoled me into getting into hospital radio down in Worcester-super-Mare. And I can see that, again, timings are not great because you've got another 50 seconds left of this recording. So I can see that's going to be another audio booth for another time, clearly telling you my foray into hospital broadcasting, hospital radio. But in the meantime, thank you ever so much for being with me, and thanks for listening. It's been good to have your company. Hope you can listen to other things. Just go to audioboo.fm/RoddyJenkins, RODDY. And, you know, follow me, please. I want some followers. Thank you. Anyway, listen, thanks a million for listening. Take care of yourselves, and I will catch up with you very soon indeed. But, oh, we've got another 5 seconds left, so there we are. Just another chance to say tacky bye, basically.